السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: وإذ ابتلى إبراهيم ربه بكلمات فأتمهن قال إني جاعلك للناس إماما قال ومن ذريتي قال لا ينال عهد الظالمين. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, thousands and thousands of Muslims throughout the world will travel to the house of Allah in the coming days to perform Hajj. Allah grant each person Hajj Mabrur. If we study Hajj in detail, we will realize that Hajj in essence is a commemoration of the life, the efforts of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. So I believe it is proper that in the next coming weeks we discuss the life of this profound personality and we learn lessons from his beautiful life. I recited a verse from Surah Al-Baqarah that will be the principal verse in relation to the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. It is verse 124. Allah Almighty says, وَإِذِ ابْتَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمَ رَبُّهُ بِكَلِمَاتٍ فَأَتَمَّهُنْ قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah Almighty tested Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam in different aspects. He gave him different commands to fulfill. Allah Almighty, after testing Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, in the verse declares that he fulfilled the test. So when a person fulfills a test or he passes in a test, he is rewarded. So Allah Almighty says, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا, that we will make you a leader for mankind. Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam, when he was endowed with this mighty gift, immediately his mind turned towards his progeny. And he said, قَالَ وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي, that this beautiful gift that you have endowed upon me, is it only for myself or my children as well? Allah Almighty said, قَالَ لَا يَنَالُ عَهْدِ الظَّالِمِينَ, that this bounty will be bestowed upon that child that is not a zalim. Now this is the principal ayat when it comes to the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wassalam. If we study his life from inception till the time he departed, it consists of many, many different kinds of tests at different levels and very, very intensified. So when he passed through all the tests with flying colors, then Allah Almighty granted him the imamat of humanity. And that's why the Jewish people and the Christian people till today, and this statement echoed even in the time of Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they used to claim affiliation with Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasallam. The Jews used to say that we are connected with Ibrahim. The Christians used to say we are connected with Ibrahim. So Allah Almighty refuted the declaration of the Yahud and the Nasara in Surah Ali Imran. Surah number 3, verse 67, مَا كَانَ إِبْرَاهِيمُ يَهُودِيًّا وَلَا نَصْرَانِيًّا وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. That Ibrahim is neither a Yahudi, neither a Christian. Nasrani. He's not a Jew, he's not a Christian. وَلَكِنْ كَانَ حَنِيفًا مُسْلِمًا. He is a true Muslim. وَمَا كَانَ مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ And he was not a mushrik. This is the statement of the Quran. So anyone here who is Hanifa Muslima, a true believer, he has the right to affiliate himself with this personality. Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that when I went through the different heavens in the night of ascension known as Mi'raj, he said, I came across Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and he looks like me. So there is a apparent resemblance between the Nabi of Allah and Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Zahiran, indeed batinan, but zahiran as well. And as we know that all the prophets that came for the guidance of humanity after Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam are from the progeny of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, may it be Ismail or may it be Ishaq alayhi salatu wasalam. Now, if we study the different tests that he went through, there is one aspect that we understand. It is understood by the scholars when studying the life of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam that every single person that comes in this world, may he be a Nabi or a ghayre Nabi, he will be tested. He will be tested. Indeed, the level of test will be different. The frequency of the test will be very different. The intensity of the test will be very different. But indeed, each person will be tested. Now, a Nabi is guided by Allah directly. The word we use for guidance is tarbiyah, the upbringing. For something to blossom, something to flourish, you need a Rabb. Indeed, Allah is the Rabb of humanity. But when it comes to the blossoming of a human being in the spiritual world, Allah Almighty is the Murabbi of a Nabi directly. He does not allow any insan to intervene in the tarbiyah of the Nabi. May it be before being a prophet, or may it be after commissioned as a prophet, no one has the right to give tarbiyah to a Nabi. A Nabi is guided by Allah directly. If we study the seerah of Nabi Akareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he himself says that I was only 14 years of age. So he's not commissioned as a prophet, he's Muhammad bin Abdullah. And he said that there was a wedding, and my friends and the people of the locality said that we should go to this wedding. Now basically a wedding is a reflection of the life or the concepts that people hold very dear. Remember that. So if you look at a wedding, you can understand what the culture is outside the wedding. Celebrations, may it be Christmas, Easter, Eid al-Fitr, Eid al-Adha. All these different celebrations are a reflection of what the culture is of that community. So if on Eid al-Fitr we violate the limits set by Allah Almighty and we display a level of enjoyment that is not approved by Allah Almighty, this is a reflection of our culture. It is very, very important to understand that. So Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was invited to this wedding. Now the culture in those days was not conducive to divine law that was to be sent in the coming years. So Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had no one to guide him. He was yatim. أَلَمْ يَجِدْكَ يَتِيمًا فَآوَى We found you as a yatim and we sheltered you. We guided you. وَوَجَدَكَ ضَالًا فَهَدَى We found you unaware. We guided you. Allah guided directly the tarbiyah. So Nabi Akrim started walking with the group, and he felt so tired. He felt so tired. He couldn't keep his eyes open. He collapsed, he fell to the ground, and he fell asleep. When the wedding was over, early in the morning he woke up and everything was over. No one could say in the future that you were in that wedding, because he was asleep. Now, Nabi Akrim was very, very respectful, especially to his uncle Abu Talib. So there was a festival in the name of an idol. So they were all traveling to this festival. And Abu Talib said to Nabi Akrim, why don't you come? Now the Nabi of Allah has not been educated. He is unaware. وَوَجَدَكَ ظَالًا. He is unaware of divine constitution. He is unaware of the ma'rifat of Allah, because he has not been commissioned as a prophet yet. There's no one to give him tarbiyah. The environment of Makkah is not given the tarbiyah of monotheism. It is given the tarbiyah of shirk. Nabi Akrimah Masa Sallam, he tried to avoid, but he could not. So he started to walk with his uncle Abu Talib. Suddenly the Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam collapsed, he fainted. So Abu Talib said, "Isko kya ho gaya?" Picked up Nabi Akrimah Masa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, took him home. When he recovered the following day, Abu Talib said, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" He said, "I was walking with you and suddenly I found this giant person, a white giant person standing in front of me, and said, don't go to the festival." He said the sound was so overwhelming that I fainted. That was Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, not allowing the Nabi of Allah to participate in that festival. So this is the tarbiyah that is made by Allah for the Anbiya. But insan, they don't have that kind of tarbiyah where Allah will guide them at that level or allow them to blossom at that level. So the tarbiyah of Anbiya is by Allah, and the tarbiyah of insan is by the Anbiya. So who makes our tarbiyah? The Nabi of Allah. If the Sahaba did anything wrong, Nabi Akrimah Masa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to reprimand them, used to instruct them, used to give them education. Now basically the word used for tarbiyah, we're talking about a test, because Hazrat Ibrahim was tested. And we want to know, why is a person tested? A person is tested so he can blossom, that's it. To understand his ability. My teacher, Maulana Musa Khan Sahib Rahimahullah, before the test he used to say, "I know who's going to pass and I know who's going to fail, because I know my students. Who is serious, who is not serious, who studies after hours, who does not study, I know." So we said, "Teacher, if you know who's going to pass and if you know who's going to fail, why do you put us through this procedure of making effort and then giving the imtihan? Because before the ikhtibar, before the imtihan, for many, many days we can't eat. There's anxiety." He said, "So you can realize your potential. You can realize your potential. You have to realize your potential. Allah has given great isti'dad to a human being." So Allah Almighty puts the Anbiya through different tests of very high intensity, because they have great istita'at, great potential. And that's why the very famous statement of the Nabi of Allah, "Ashaddu an-nasi bala' al-anbiya thumma al-amthal fal-amthal." Who are tested the most amongst humanity? The Anbiya. Why are they tested the most? Because they have the greatest potential. ثُمَّ الْأَمْثَلِ. And then those people that are close to the Anbiya, because they have that potential as well. A person cannot blossom and flourish and reach the optimum level if he's not tested. You have to be tested. Now basically the word used in the Quran for test is lima. Lima. If a person makes a mistake, Allah will address him by the word lima. Kyun? Ye kyun kiya tumne? Lima. So if the child makes a mistake, you say, why did you do this? Why? And then you give him instruction. Now this word lima has been used for the Anbiya, and lima has been used for the insan as well in the Quran. But there is a mighty difference in the usage of lima for the Anbiya and lima for the insan. Now I'll give two references from the Quran where Allah has used the word lima for Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the first place where Allah used lima for the Nabi is in Surah Tawbah. Verse 43, عَفَ اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَ أَذِنْتَ. May Allah forgive you. Why did you give them permission? Allah is addressing Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that in the battle of Tabuk, many munafiqoon came to Nabi Kareem Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they said, Ya Rasulullah, one person came. He had the audacity to say this to the Nabi of Allah. He said, Ya Rasulullah, we have come to know that the Romans are very, very beautiful people. They have colored eyes. They are very, very attractive. Very pretty women. If I participate in this expedition and I travel to Rome, there's a possibility I will lose my iman because I can't control myself around women. So excuse me from this expedition. Munafiq tha, he was a munafiq. Nabi Kareem Muhammad gave him ijazah. Said, right, you stay home. Save your iman. Now there were many munafiqoon that came to the Nabi of Allah and gave these lame excuses. So they could be excused from the expedition of Tabuk. Afterwards Allah said, Afallahu anka lima azinta. May Allah forgive you. Lima azinta. Why did you give them permission? Why did you give them permission? They don't deserve to be excused from the battle of Tabuk. Number one. Number two place. Surah Tahreem. The surah preceding Surah Mulk. Surah number 66. Verse number one. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu lima tuharrimu. Lima tuharrimu. Ma ahallallahu laka tabtaghi marzata azwajik. Wallahu ghafoorur rahim. O Nabi of Allah, why do you make haram that which Allah has made halal? To seek the pleasure of your wife. Wallahu ghafoorur rahim. Allah is oft forgiving, most merciful. Now if we study the construction of the ayat, especially Surah Tawbah and Surah Tahreem, we come to know that before lima, Allah has made mention that He is forgiven. In Surah Tawbah. And in Surah Tahreem, after lima, Allah has made mention, Wallahu ghafoorur rahim, He is forgiven. The reason behind it is that if the promise of forgiveness is not made mention, pre-lima or post-lima, it will be unbearable for the Nabi of Allah to be addressed in this fashion. Ke mera Allah mujhse naraaz hai. If Allah said, lima azinta, why did you give permission? Whoa, the Nabi of Allah could not bear this style of address. So Allah immediately, sometimes before says, you are forgiven, don't worry about it, now listen to me. And sometimes makes mention of the purpose, and then afterwards says, Allah is most forgiving, most merciful. So it lightens the address and the weight of the address. Does it make sense? Yeah. But when it comes to you and me, there is no forgiveness before and no forgiveness afterwards. For insan, no. What does Allah Almighty say in Surah Saf, Surah 61, verse number 2? Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu lima takuluna ma la tafa'alun. O believers, why do you say that which you do not do? There is no mention of maghfirah before and after. Because if we are addressed by Allah with the word of lima, and lima is for tarbiyah, we can bear it. We do not have that connection with Allah that if He is upset with us, that we will collapse, we will faint, or we will die. So basically, every person is to be tested. Every person is to be tested. But there are different levels of test. much more intensified, less intensity, so on and so forth. Now, Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is the forefather of all existing divine religions. The test that he went through were mighty. That if an average person was to be placed in the same domain, same theater, placed in front of the same test, most probably he will not come out with flying colors. He will not come out with flying colors. And that has been understood, that Hazrat Ibrahim went to sacrifice whom? His child. He had sacrificed his child in his mind and by practice. In his mind and by practice. Allah had something other designed for humanity, knowing that if the same command was given to us, we could not do it. Because we do not have that istita'at, that capacity. So we are following the model, but at a very lower level, less intensity. So now if we want to study the different imtihanat, the test that Hazrat Ibrahim went through, we should study the Quran from cover to cover. I'll give you a few references. You can open Surah Maryam. So Surah Maryam is the Surah after Surah? Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf is Surah number?
18.
So this is Surah 19. Remember the numbers. Right? Because most of us are not Huffaz, so it will be very hard for us to find these Surahs. So Surah number 19 is the Surah after Surah Kahf. Surah Kahf we recite on Friday. So from verse number 41 onwards, Allah speaks about Hazrat Ibrahim. وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. So there's an entire section dedicated to Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. Remember the number 41. It's very easy to remember. 41, Surah Maryam. Then there's another surah in which Allah speaks about Hazrat Ibrahim in detail. Surah Anbiya, the surah of prophets. So Surah Anbiya is Surah 21. Surah 21. And it is verse 51 onwards. The very famous ayat, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُكُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمُ, comes in this section. Comes in Surah Anbiya, verse 51 onwards. To be precise, verse 69. قُلْنَا يَا نَارُكُونِي. So now the first test that Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam went through is that he woke up in a home where there was no trace of monotheism. He woke up in an environment, in a city where people had no understanding of monotheism. And Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam is Imamul Muwahhidun, the Imam of the Unitarians, the Imam of the Muwahhidun. And that's why I made mention in the start, who makes the tarbiyah of Hazrat Ibrahim now? Allah. Because a Nabi is sent when the people have fallen into the ditch of darkness, into the valley of darkness. So what happens is a Nabi comes and he pulls his ummah out of the ditch of darkness. But this cannot happen without true tarbiyah of Allah Almighty. He is guided every step. So he finds that his own father is not only a mushrik, but he is a maker of the idol. He's a maker of the idol. Now basically, I would like to make mention and then we are going to conclude. Many a times, when we study shirk, the thing that comes into our mind is the idol. The idol indeed is something that should be broken. فَإِذَا جَاءَ الْحَقِّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ. The Nabi of Allah was reciting these verses, pointing towards the idols at the conquest of Makkah, and these idols were dropping. But in reality, what is more dangerous than the idol itself is the concept behind the idol. That should be destroyed, the concept behind the idol. There was a concept behind the idol of Hubal, behind Lat and Uzza. Briefly, I will make mention. At the conquest of Makkah, Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sent Hazrat Khalid bin Wali to a certain place, and they said, there's an idol there known as Lat, go and break it. So Khalid bin Walid radiallahu ta'ala, and he went, and he found that there was an idol there. And he broke it to pieces, فَجَعَلَهُمْ جُزَازًا. He broke it to pieces, bit by bit, he broke it. Came back, said, Ya Rasulullah, I have broken the idol. The Nabi said, you haven't broken anything. He said, no. Said, you have not broken the idol. He said, I broke the idol. He said, you haven't broke the idol, go again. So he went again, and he found that there was a lady sitting there. And as a Khalid bin Wali says, itni badsurat, very ugly, old and ugly, throwing dirt on her hair and saying, where are you, Lat? Come to our rescue. As a Khalid bin Wali saw this lady, and he went and mashallah, uska kaam tamam kar diya, cut her to pieces. Came back to Nabi Akrima Musa Sallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, I found somebody there. Nabi Akrima Musa Sallam said, now you have broken Lat. So the ulama said, what was this lady? Said, the lady was dedicated for the service of Lat, and that lady was a jinn. So when people used to come there, how do people develop a connection with an idol? They go there and they say, please, please respond. Will you help me? Now this jinni, she's sitting behind and she will speak on behalf of the idol and say, I will help you. Now the person is thinking that the idol is speaking. But who is speaking? The jinn is speaking. That's why there is a high probability that in the world, in many, many black houses and white houses and red houses and green houses, there may be a shaitan that is sitting. It happened in the time of Nabi Akareem Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In Darul Nadwa, when the Mushrikun came together, Abu Jahl said that what should we do? We should come together, the think tanks, and we should come up with a program to eliminate Nabi Akareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to stop the progress of Islam. So there was a Sheikh in Najd, an old man, human being. He said, I've come from Najd. Who was that Sheikh in Najd? Shaitan. Came in a physical form. So that Shaykh Najd can be in any house, in any parliament, Muslim or non-Muslim. We have to be very, very careful, and that's why the Quran says min al jinnati wan nas. So it's to break the concept behind the idol. We've run out of time. We will discuss this following week, inshallah. Allah give us tawfiq to learn from the story of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.